Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. As usual, this is AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio show. Steve Cromer is with us today, and I'm Janice Cromer, AGLCA's director. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge and thank our very, very, very special Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there listening to this show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which is, of course, the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our acronym is AGLCA because America's Great Loop Cruisers Association is quite a mouthful, but we're a group of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about the Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience of those dreaming about or doing the Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. Please visit. There's loads of free stuff for you to learn about the Great Loop, and of course, we'd love for you to become a member. Our guest host this week is Donna Stewart, the manager of the Visitor Center on the Dismal Swamp. As you head north on your loop, you won't want to miss this very special diversion off the Intracoastal. During the show, if you'd like to call in with a question for Donna or a comment on the route, please use our toll-free number, 877-497-1815. Welcome, Donna. Thank you very much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with y'all.
Thank you. Let's begin a little bit, if you don't mind, with the history of the Dismal Swamp and the canal. How long has it been in existence?
Well, the original Dismal Swamp, my understanding is that it was probably over a million acres of land that was swampland rich in timber of the Atlantic white cedars, which were very desirable woods, as well as cedar woods. And when in the 1700s, Colonel William Byrd did a survey and actually designated the state lines between Virginia and North Carolina. And in 1728, he proposed the canal to be built. And we're aware that George Washington came and hunted in this area, and he called it a paradise.
Uh-huh.
And he got a group of investors that purchased some of the land and had the idea that they would log it for the prize timber. They would ditch it, drain it for what they thought like would be wonderful farmland. So the story goes, eventually George Washington became unenamored with his project because of the difficulties and ended up becoming the President of the United States. But
a little bit of a diversion.
Yeah, but the idea of the canal to connect the Chesapeake Bay with the Albemarle Sound, make an inland waterway trek that was safer and a way to transport goods back and forth took hold. And then eventually in the late 1700s, the work began, and I believe the canal opened in 1805.
Well, you had mentioned wildlife. Back then, what kind of wildlife was in the area? Do you know? Is it very different now?
We believe it probably is quite a bit different. There were, you know, I can't swear to the different types of animals. We do have one of the largest black bear populations on the East Coast, but all kinds of reptiles and birds and certainly deer, fox, bobcats, your typical foxes and raccoons and beaver. It's probably believed that there were a lot of other animals that we no longer see. But we do have a Dismal Swamp State Park adjacent to our property now here at the Visitor Center, and they do provide a wealth of information about the current population of animals that we have.
Fantastic. And you said black bear. My goodness, it's a little bit frightening.
Well, our rangers now, recently it's been in the news about, an incident in Florida, but our rangers tell us, our property here, the state park is 14,000 acres, and it abuts up to the Great Dismal Swamp National Wildlife Refuge, which their home office is over in Suffolk, Virginia. They're actually 112,000 acres of protected refuge in addition to our 14,000 acres at the Dismal Swamp State Park. So that combined coverage is a large expanse of protected wildlife area. Our rangers tell us typically the bears in our swamp, if they see a human, they go in the other direction.
They don't like us.
It's hard to get a picture. Now, that's not always the case. I mean, you don't want to come up on a mama bear, and you certainly don't want to confront a bear. But our rangers tell us that they're mostly vegetarians. Young bears might be a juvenile bear that is not as, I guess, streetwise, may act a little more radically, or, again, a mother bear is going to protect her cubs. But our rangers tell us the experience that they've had is typically the bears are not very interactive with humans. They usually go in the other direction.
Okay, great. At the Dismal Swamp itself, how many visitors do you get a year in just your swamp area and the national, well, in the park too, really?
Okay. As far as boaters are concerned, coming down the Dismal Swamp Canal, and my figures come from the actual figures the lockmasters, the Army Corps of Engineers, presents to us. And for the last several years, some years past, there's been nearly as many as 2,000. In the last few years, we've averaged between 1,600 to last year it was 1,500. In 2009, there were over 1,800. So it varies. I think the economy has affected all of us in different fashions, and certainly in the last few years, our boating numbers have been down just a little bit. But
are those mostly cruisers? Do you have much traffic of people, just out for the day, or is it? Well, it takes. First of all, how long does it take to do the Dismal Swamp?
The canal is 22 miles long.
Okay.
And if you're in Elizabeth City, if you're coming from the south, Elizabeth City is mile marker 51. So they typically it takes about 3 hours. We're about 17 miles from Elizabeth City to the South Mills Lock. So that is open water until you get a little closer towards us in Turner's Cut. So the waters are a little more narrow, so you don't want to go flying through there.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the sailboat's not going to be able to do that. But we are a no-wake zone. So it takes approximately 3 hours from Elizabeth City to get to our lock. And, of course, our lock openings are four times a day at 8:30 and 11, 1:30 and 3:30 at both ends, at the north and the south end. Once a boat locks through, it takes approximately an hour to get to our location because we are about 5 miles from the lock and we are a no-wake zone.
Okay.
And then to get to the north end up to the Deep Creek lock, it takes another about 3 hours. We're also about 17 miles from the lock in Deep Creek.
Okay.
So those thoughts have to be in process because the locks do not open on demand. But most people appreciate the lock process as well as the view along the way.
So it's very important for our boaters to know that the locks don't open on demand. They really have to time their travel through there.
Right. And we get a lot of phone calls asking about that. And then just trying to clarify, too, okay, how long will it take me to get through?
Uh-huh.
So most of we do get a lot of phone calls regarding that. And then we can kind of walk them through and remind them we're a no-wake zone for their own safety as well as for the health of the canal and not to mess the banks up with speeds or disrupt, stir things up either by flying through our waterway. So we want you to relax and take your time and enjoy the picturesque view along the way.
Well, for some reason, that's the picture in my mind I have of going through the Dismal Swamp, is very relaxed and slow mm-hmm. and just enjoying the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
How long should people expect to spend at the visitor center to take the most advantage of it? I mean, is there a lot there to do and see, or is it just a stop along the way?
Well, most people appreciate that we do have several options for getting off the boat and stretching their legs. We have a quarter-mile nature trail that has benches along the way. We have a three-mile paved asphalt trail that's at the south end of the state park's parking lot. Actually, another mile and a quarter will take you to the village of South Mills. And there's 20 miles of trails at the state park. They also have a half-mile boardwalk, as well as an exhibit visitor center with examples of the animals that live in the swamp on display in that. At our rest area, we have our restrooms are open 24 hours a day. We have numerous picnic tables, covered picnic tables on concrete slabs, as well as some historical information. There's an old Loki engine that was used in the harvesting of timber in the swamp on display here. The state park has a couple of static displays down one of their trails, one of a moonshine still, and another of a lighter boat, which would have been the original type of boat that was used in the current canal at the opening. And so there is some Civil War information here as well. We certainly, in our visitor center, have information about the whole state, over 500 brochures, all kinds of things, even for the boaters along the way. We have boater maps, the Army Corps of Engineers map. We have a lot of information about towns they may stop in, say Oriental, North Carolina, or Elizabeth City, or even, you know, side trips to Edenton. We can verse them on things to do, New Bern, along the way at any of the stops that they might be able to get to.
Fantastic. I think if you don't mind, Donna, it's time for us to break, though, for a quick commercial from a commander sponsor, Pink Shell Beach Resort.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, three pools, and two restaurants. Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, three pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Donna, it sounds like there's a lot to do at the visitor center between the park and the nature trails. Can our boaters stay? I mean, how long can they tie up if they wanted to make use of the state park and maybe take their bikes and go on one of the trails?
Well, we typically say a 24-hour stay, but there's always exceptions, and it happens quite often. Due to weather, we have a lot of people that, if there is inclement weather, will stay with us an extra day or two, and that is not a problem at all. We care about their safety as well. So we've really never had to, we may have had to gently remind someone occasionally that they need to make room for someone else to come along, but that's not the case. Our boaters have been great. We love hosting them. We're kind of a hurricane hole as well, and people like the safety of the canal as far as being out of open waterways, and the Corps of Engineers has accommodated that over the years. In the last couple of years, they've encouraged us to try to get our boaters to stay between the lock and South Mills and the drawbridge. But again, we are open to the public, and we're glad to have them. So we say 24 hours, but, again, we know that the weather can be a factor, and oftentimes people will spend a couple of days, 2 or 3 days with us to wait until the weather gets a little nicer.
Most of our cruisers are between like 35 and maybe 40 43 feet. How many boats can you accommodate overnight?
Our face dock is 150 feet. So it's not uncommon to see about four boats tied up and then people raft out.
Okay.
So that is, people are very agreeable with that. They just put their fenders, their bumpers up and, you know, talk to their neighbor, and if they're coming on land or coming over, that's not usually an issue. And most, we don't have a, quote, dock master, and we, most of the time that's not an issue. Everyone works together to accommodate. If somebody, if somebody's leaving early, then everybody will just adjust and move around a little bit. So that's not typically been an issue at all.
We find our boaters in particular, but all boaters in general, very, very flexible and very, very accommodating.
I agree.
Great. One question I didn't think to ask is, what are the current depths and what is the normal depth of the canal?
The Army Corps of Engineers tells me to tell you that there is a controlling depth of 6 foot.
Yes.
And it really does not vary a whole lot because what a lot of people don't understand is we are a finely tuned system that's connected with a swamp. So there, Lake Drummond is a 3,000-acre freshwater lake that lies in the refuge. There's a feeder ditch that goes back to that with a water structure. But recently, the refuge and the Dismal Swamp State Park received some funding. They're trying to keep the swamp wetter. And they've also received funding to do some additional water structures, dam structures, really, to be honest. And they're trying to keep the swamp wetter to prevent the fires that we've had in the past, for one thing, but also to help restore the original habitat that was there and the type of trees that grew there. So our depths are maintained pretty carefully by the Corps on a daily basis. And if we do have a lack of water, they will actually restrict the lock openings to, say, two a day instead of the normal four.
Yeah.
And if the water levels get so that they can't accommodate that six-foot draft, they, it's not done very often, but the canal has had to have closures. Doesn't happen very often. The exception, a few years ago, we had a fire in 2011, and because the drawbridge that goes over to the state park was used as an escape route, the canal was closed because of that safety factor for the firefighters' safety.
Okay.
So we did become closed for navigational purposes.
Is there a website that boaters can reference to find out if there are problems or get the lock schedules?
Yes. We are we're on Facebook. Our Dismal Swamp Welcome Center is on Facebook. We're also on our website is Dismal Swamp Welcome Center. Now, we don't have on the website, I wouldn't have a current update. We do try to post everything on our Facebook page.
Okay.
But what we do on our website, we have a great boaters information page, which has probably the answer to 95% of the questions. We love for y'all to call us and ask us questions because we love sharing our information. But if you, you know, if it's after hours, if you go to that page, there is a lot of information that is related to the canal and boating questions that are typically asked.
That's
the
great.
Army Corps of Engineers also is very good about, through the Coast Guard, posting out any bulletins about anything that's going on.
Okay, so the Coast Guard does cover bulletins for the swamp.
Yes.
And the canal.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. We've had a lot of chatter on our webpage about whether people should go on the Intracoastal or take the Dismal Swamp. Is there a problem often with debris? You know, with 6 foot clearance, you know, there's not a lot of room there. Is there a problem with debris in the canal?
I don't believe there currently is a major problem. What we find is, and I'm sure just in every kind of community, not just boating community, we have, I can have a boater one day that comes through and tells me he has a 6 foot draft, and typically our ladies here and the staff will say to you when a boater comes in, how'd you find the canal? Did you have any problems? Because if there is a problem, if our boaters could note either a GPS coordinate or the mile marker location or both, and relay that to us or to the lock masters. They can let U.S. Facilities, who's a contractor, know of those issues and try to take care of them quickly. So if we have a reference point, but if you just tell me I bumped something between here and the lock, I'm not going to have a whole lot to go on.
But we will
be glad to relay that information on to them so that they can have it dealt with. But the Corps of Engineers, the Elizabeth barge, is currently in the canal right now and doing some debris work. And we're elated when they are able to do that, when funding allows, that they can come in and do some cleaning and debris and even cutting back some of the branches along the sides. Or if a log goes in, you know, instead of just tying it and pulling it to the side, which is all they can do in the small U.S. facilities boat, they can actually come in with the barge and the crane and lift those out and remove them. So I think for the most part, when I mentioned earlier, I could have someone one day with a 6-foot draft just say to me, everything was wonderful. And I can have somebody come in, you know, an hour or two later with a 4-foot draft and say, oh, you know, I just bumped and bumped and bumped. So I think a lot of times it's perception.
Uh-huh.
Of everybody, all of us in life experience things in a different way.
Exactly.
And so for the greatest response that we have is that they love coming through and they thoroughly enjoy it. I've even been told we remind them of the Amazon. So I don't know how many people have been to the Amazon, but it is almost otherworldly sometimes with that dark reflective water and the tree line so close by. It does make you feel like you've stepped back in time.
Well, I think you answered my next question on the scenic beauty. I just can feel the atmosphere. It must be absolutely wonderful.
Well, we're greening up very nicely. I will take this opportunity to briefly mention this next Saturday, the 3rd, May the 3rd, is our annual Paddle for the Border event, and we will have about 325 paddlers descend upon the Dismal Swamp and go into the water, and they'll paddle north for 7.5 miles to Ballahack Road. But what we encourage our boaters, we try to get that information out and let people know ahead of time. If you are in Elizabeth City heading this way, just delay your trip a little bit in the morning because they'll have ended by early afternoon. Or if you're spending the night with us, we tell our boaters, have breakfast on us. Enjoy the view. See all the pretty colorful kayaks in the water, have a ham biscuit and a yogurt and a cup of coffee on us, and just delay your departure time a little bit when they're out of the way, and then move. You still can make it out of the canal that day, just a little bit later. So, but it is a really pretty time of year to be coming.
Well, I remember from the last time you were on our show 2 years ago, there was an event right around the beginning of our rendezvous, and that's coming up May 5th. But are there any other special events during the year, or is it basically just the one in early May?
No, we do have another event called Dismal Day. This will be our 3rd year. It will be in October, actually October the 11th. And our superintendent at the state park, Joy Greenwood, designed it a couple of years ago, and we were her co-partners in presenting it and planning it. It's ended up being a really successful event. Vendors, nature-based vendors from our area. We have food, great Brunswick stew from a local organization, and hamburgers, barbecues, things like that. Last year, we actually had some live wolves on display. It's usually in fall, early October, when the leaves are starting to change, and that, you know, you're seeing confetti on the water, and that has been really, really well received, and we're planning on our 3rd event this October the 11th.
October 11th, we'll remember that. Okay, it sounds wonderful. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover, Donna?
I want to give a shout-out to our lock masters. In South Mills, we have Frank and Alan, and down in Deep Creek, we have George and Robert Peake. And Robert is pretty well-known in the boating community because he does have such a passion for this waterway. He does a great job. He's my go-to for questions. If I have a boater call me and he's a little bit unsure about coming through, I usually call and give Robert a shout-out and let them talk to him. He knows a lot about the history of the waterway, and he enjoys sharing that with the boaters when they come through. But all, you know, our South Mills Lock Masters as well as our Deep Creek Lock Masters do a wonderful job. And I've got to say the Corps of Engineers is always extremely responsive whenever we have a problem, when the boaters let us know about issues. They are very quick to act and do whatever they can. Some things take a little bit more time, of course, and funding can be an issue, but I am very grateful to their quick response whenever we make them aware of any problems.
Well, that sounds wonderful. It sounds like a great community. Did you have anything you'd like to add or any questions?
Nope. You covered everything I was going to ask, so we're good.
Okay, Donna, I think we're done then. I really appreciate you talking today and helping us out. And hopefully we'll have a good season on the swamp, and you will stay in touch. And maybe we'll have you on next year again and let our boaters know. It's usually around this time of the year.
Well, okay. Janice and Steve both, thank you for inviting me. It was a great pleasure to talk to you and your community. And, again, we love our boaters. We love seeing those cruisers and sailboats tied up to our dock. It makes our highway traffic happy as well to see they're, you know, always very curious, and it just improves our view.
Fantastic. Stay well and have a nice summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.